Today I want us to look, if you will, and to think about our trust. You know, there was in the announcements many that were mentioned that have gone through some afflictions of the flesh. They've overcome them. There are some that are about to have operations, surgeries. Where do we put our trust? And we know that we trust in the doctors and the surgeons and the ones that are caring for us in the hospitals and places of that nature, but our ultimate trust, where does it lie? When we think about the afflictions that are going on all over the world, it was mentioned in the prayer of the Ukraine. Those people are under great distress at this time. Where's their trust? Who do they put their trust in? Even in our own country, we have situations. I forgot. I remembered. But we have situations going on. Even though the pandemic is pretty much a normal day of life thing that we have learned to live with now. But still, we need to think about, where did I put my trust? Where is my trust at? We find in 2 Samuel chapter 22, we find David here. And beginning in verse 1, it says that David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul himself. And here's what he said. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." And we just sang that song. And how much do we really believe in what we just sang? That He is a rock. David said, "He is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. God is my stronghold and my refuge." He goes on to say that God is my Savior. "You save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress," he says, "I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered his ears." Here David is letting everyone know assuredly that his trust, his ultimate trust, was in God. He realized that God was the one who was going to deliver him, the one that was going to protect and save him, and to keep him safe from his enemies. I want us to consider today, if you will, when you think about trust and defining trust, a confident reliance it is on the integrity or justice of another. David demonstrated that in what we just read. He fully had confidence in God that God would see him through. This is a confidence and a faith that each and every one of us need to have in God, just as David did. But sadly to say, there are some false trusts that we have. There are times when we put our trust in things that are not trustworthy. The first one I want to think about is our riches. A lot of times people think that money can get us out of many problems. And money is a source of our livelihood, and it's a source of our living. But to put all of our trust in it alone is a foolish thing. In Psalms chapter 52, turn your Bibles over, if you will, in Psalms 52, and verse 1 beginning there, we find there it says, "Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. Your tongues, they devise destruction like a sharp razor working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness, Selah. You love all devouring words, you deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy you, he says, forever. He shall take you away and pluck you out of your dwelling place, uproot you from the land of the living, Selah. The righteous shall also see and fear, and shall laugh at him, saying, here was a man who did not make God his strength, but instead he trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. See, we can see the foolishness here of these people who trust in their riches. Money comes, money goes. We can't put our trust in full confidence. How many do we know that have had jobs and they were confident that the job would endure, that they would, this is the place where they would retire from, only to be cut from the payroll many years prior to their retirement because of some young and upcoming person who they could take in a little cheaper? We see it happen all the time. We have rising costs of everything going on around us. And we cannot put our whole trust in these riches. And in this, in Proverbs 11 and verse 18, we find there, or 28, it says there, he who trusts in his riches will fall. It's not a sure thing. But he says the righteous, those who trust in God, they will flourish like foliage. And we need to recognize the wisdom of the proverb writer. In Matthew chapter 19, we go back over to the New Testament and we find some interesting information that we can glean from the writings of Matthew 19. We find in verse 23 here, Jesus saying this, and again, we look at the idea here of a young man. If you backtrack a little bit up into the verses, you'll read of this young man that approached Jesus, and he said to him, he said in verse 16, I believe, one came to him and said, him, good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? Jesus answered him. And he goes on down there and he says, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. You shall honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, as the young man pondered what the Lord had told him, he said there, he said, well, I'm doing all of this. This is a part of my life. But he says, what like I yet? And he says there in verse 21, Jesus says, well, if you want to be perfect or complete, he says, go and sell what you have and give to the poor. See, here's a test of his trust, a test of his faith. Jesus being able to look inside the minds of all of us, and he recognized that this young man was struggling here and his trust was in the wrong place. His trust was in the riches that he had, and so his test was, you go and you sell everything you have, you give it to the poor, and Jesus says, I will give you treasures in heaven. Just come and follow me. You know, in the beginning of Jesus' ministry, we find that there were many who were fishermen. Many of these men, that was their livelihood. Now you talk about putting trust in someone. Jesus approached them and told them, he says, put your nets down, come with me, and I will make you fishers of men. He was asking them to put their trust in him. Jesus recognized that was their livelihood. But there was something far more important. That was the seeking after the souls of lost ones around. These men did exactly that. They put down their nets and they followed after Jesus. Here Jesus is giving this young rich man the same opportunity. Set aside what is troubling you. Set aside what's standing in your way of doing right. Sell it. Get rid of it. Give it to the poor. And come follow me. In verse 22, we find, though, that when the young man heard what was told to him, it says he went away sorrowful because of his thoughts on his great possessions that he had. We find nowhere where it says this great man ever decided otherwise. And as we find in verse 23, Jesus tells his disciples, he says, "Assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It is not impossible, but it is difficult because people put their trust in their riches instead of God." As he says here, he says, "Again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven." We've got to put our trust in the right place. Jesus is not saying that it's evil, it's sinful to be rich. But what Jesus is saying is don't put your trust in those riches. Put your trust in the living God. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, we find as Paul is addressing Timothy here, and some of the admonitions that Paul gives him here is found in verses 17 through 19. Paul, recognizing that Timothy would be going out and preaching the gospel to these different churches, and there would be those of those congregations who would be in the wealthy state. And what he tells him there in verse 17 is, "Command those who are rich in this present age," excuse me, "not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches." Notice how he describes that. Uncertain riches. Riches are not a certainty. They're not a guarantee. They are uncertain. Don't trust in those uncertain riches, but instead trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. One of the things that was in the prayer a while ago was that of being thankful for what God has given us. We always should be in prayer to God and thankful to God for all that He has given unto us and blessed us with. With His hands, He supports us. He helps us. He sees us through. And here, noticing and recognizing that, he says there, notice he says, "Let them do good that they may be rich in good works." There's the important thing, rich in good works. Not rich in wealth and in their finances. And then he goes on to say there, "Ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation, for the time will come that they may lay hold on eternal life." See, there's the important point that he's trying to make to Timothy. Teach them. There's something far greater and far more important than any riches of this earth. It is eternal life in heaven. And there are many, though, that sadly to say, they put their trust in these uncertain riches. But there are others that put their trust in man himself. They put all their confidence into someone instead of God. We find, if you will, turn your Bibles back to Jeremiah. In the book of Jeremiah, I'm having a time here this morning. In the book of Jeremiah 17, and we find in verse 5 beginning there, notice he says, the Lord says this. He says, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from who? From the Lord." See, when we put our trust in man and not in God, we are turning our backs on God. We're no longer trusting in God. And he goes on to say, "For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, Now think about the analogy he's using here. A desert. And having a shrub that is in the desert. Now, you know, I've been to Arizona and I've been in different places where it's kind of hot and there's not a whole lot of anything. And I thought I'd never see sagebrush blowing across the roads. That's about all you have. There's not much moisture for anything. And anything out there in that severe heat is destroyed. It's burned up. So he uses that analogy here. He goes on to say, and notice here he says, the person who puts his trust in man is like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness. There's not much good. Cannot recognize the things that are going on. I'm okay now. Thank you, though. But we find here, it says here, going on, it says, in a salt land which is not inhabited. But notice here what he goes on to say. He says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. See, we see a total different thought here. We are blessed, but only when we put our trust in the Lord. And why is that? Because whose hope is the Lord? The only hope of eternal life in heaven can only be found through the Lord. Man cannot get us there. Man cannot save us. Man cannot do anything where God can. And he goes on to say, for he shall be like a tree planted by the water. See, it's a total different analogy here. It's not the desert anymore. It's a running river. A tree planted by that river will flourish. It receives the proper nutrients and it will grow. And as he goes on to say, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, for its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Why? Because the trust is in the Lord. The Lord will supply. Just as the songs that we sang this morning, putting our confidence in God, that not only will He see us through in the good times, but He'll see us through in the bad times, the trying times, those times that we're faced with surgeries, those times that we're faced with death in our families, the illnesses and maybe the misfortune of finances. God will see us through. Where is our confidence? We find in Jeremiah 10:23, we find there that the writer Jeremiah says this. He says, O Lord, I know that the way in man is not in himself. So why would we put trust in man who can't even lead himself? It is not in man, he says, who walks to direct his own steps. We find going back over again to the book of Psalms, and we find the psalmist David saying this about putting our trust in man. In 146 there, and notice there if you will, in verses 3 and 4 of that passage there, we find again that we cannot and should not put our trust in man. Well, if I can get my pages to separate, there we go. It says, do not put your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. Here his admonition is, don't put the trust in these who are of maybe preeminence, kings and princes and those of authority of this land. But instead he says there, and notice what he says, his spirit departs, and he too, just like you and I, returns to the earth. In that very day, his plans will what? Will they move on? No. They will perish. They will cease. They will end. They will no longer be. That's why it is so important that we do not put our trust in man. And then there again, there are those who just put their trust in their own evil wickedness and the wickedness of this world. In Isaiah, going back over to the book of Isaiah, and notice there in chapter 47, we find this that he says in verses 10 through 11. He says, "For you have trusted in your wickedness. You have said, 'No one sees me.'" There are people in our world who carry on and doing evil things and thinking no one will catch them. They will not be discovered in their evil ways. And they trust in that. Those who rob others. You know, we've got a situation where I work where they are stealing mail out of the mailboxes and then somehow using their computers to redo the checks and put their names on the checks and larger amounts on the checks. And thinking that they, and the confidence that they have in themselves, that they'll never get caught. And they trust in this. And it says here, "You have said, 'No one sees me.'" Well, what does he say? He says, "Your wisdom and your knowledge have warped you," he says. "And you have said in your heart, I am, and there is no one else besides me." We see this person gets built up within themselves. Look at me, look what I've done, and no one is going to catch me. "Therefore," he says, "though evil shall come upon you, you shall not know from where it arises. Trouble shall fall upon you and will not be able to put it off. Desolation shall come upon you suddenly, which you shall not know." Rest assured you're going to be caught. Rest assured you cannot put confidence in yourself and in your evil ways. You will be found out. Sadly to say, the majority of our society is trusting in one of these three areas and resting assured within themselves that they are in well-doing. But what does the Lord say? Where should we be? Where should our trust be? It should be in the Lord. Whenever we look at some exhortations in Proverbs, we find again, and these are reassurances of where our trust should be. In Proverbs 3, 5 through 8, we notice there, he says this in that particular passage there, "And the confidence that we should have is that we should trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not on our own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge" who? Not self, not some other man. Don't go looking into your bank accounts. No, instead he says, "In all your ways acknowledge Him," that is God, "and He," that is God, "shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." Going back over to the New Testament, and we find in 1 Peter chapter 5 there, we find again this exhortation that is given unto us here in 1 Peter chapter 5. Let me get to it here. In 1 Peter 5 and verses 6 and 7, it says there, notice the humility we need to have. He says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him," putting full trust in God. And what does it say? It says, "For He," that is God, "cares for us." He truly does. When you think through your life so far, as for, you know, the days of your lives and how many times you've been in trying times, but you've seen it, you've gotten through it. Each and every one of us have gotten through those trying times. Cancer no longer vanished away. Roger had a severe accident a little over a year ago or something like that. Got through it. Putting our trust in God. He cares and He will see us through. I want us to notice that God, it is God who is our everlasting strength. Not some man, not our riches, not in ourselves, but it is God that we need to have our everlasting strength through Him. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verses 2 through 5 there, notice here, well, I would read verse 1. It says, "In that day this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks." Not mortar, not brick, not stone. What is it that's going to reinforce our walls? It is salvation. He says, "Open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he," that is God, "he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. For he brings down those who dwell on high, the lofty city," what does he do? "He lays it low." Whenever the Israelites and Joshua marched around Jericho. You know, I can't stop to think about the mind of God. Telling them to march around that city, those fortified walls. They couldn't. In fact, Jericho was standing inside the walls laughing and mocking at them. See, they had their self-assurances that nobody could penetrate those walls. But then on that last and final day, when they marched around it seven times, and they blew those trumpets and shouted to the top of their voices, the Israelites did, the walls came crushing down. Just as it says here, he brings those down who dwell on high. The lofty city, he lays it low. He lays it low to the ground. He brings it down to dust. The foot shall tread it down, the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy, he says. In Philippians 4:13, what does he say there? He says, here Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." When you're faced with some trial in your life, put your trust in Christ. He'll give you that strength. He'll give me that strength. We've just got to put our trust in Him. He is our everlasting strength. He promises this to those who trust Him. What does He promise? He promises goodness. In the book of Psalms in chapter 31 there, we find this very thought. He says there in verses 19 through 20, he says this, he says, "Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." Putting our trust and our faith in God, and it says here, we shall receive goodness in the eyes of God. Not only that, but we will receive, as it says here in this particular passage, that we find mercy in the eyes of God. In the very next chapter over, in chapter 32, verses 10 and 11, notice there he says, "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him." God will demonstrate and does demonstrate His mercy upon those of us who are faithful to Him, who are obedient to His will. We've got to put our trust in Him. He will demonstrate mercy unto us. And it says here, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart." In Romans chapter 2, and going over to chapter 2 of the book of Romans, And here we find in verses 9 through 13 of that passage there, he says this, notice, tribulation and anguish upon who? Upon every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. But notice, on the contrary, glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and to the Greek. And he goes on to say there, for there is no partiality with God, for as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but it is those who what? Who are doers of the law. They will be justified. In the Hebrew writings, we find there that it talks about Abraham and how that he was justified by his obedience to God. What did Abraham do? Well, first of all, Abraham put all of his trust in God by demonstrating when God came to him and told him to leave everything, including his riches, leave it all behind, and to follow after him into a far country. He no longer lived in his well-furnished home. Now he was living in tents. He did exactly as God had commanded. He fully trusted in God. The time came when sacrifice was to be given. And God came to Abraham and asked him, told him. He said, take your son Isaac. Now you remember the promise that God made to Abraham that through thy seed all nations would be blessed? That seed was Isaac. And now God has come to him and said, I want you to take him into the mountain. I want you to offer your son as a sacrifice. Did Abraham put his trust in someone else? No, he did exactly as God commanded him. All the way to the point of raising his staff, or his stave, and about to crucify his son. The Lord stayed his hand. And the Lord gave him another sacrifice. See, God recognized and saw the trust that Abraham had in him. That same trust is what we need to have. That when God tells us not to make our priorities our riches and our homes and man and whatever else, but put our trust in him, that we will do it without a hesitation. We find here that that's exactly what God wants from us. If we want mercy and given unto us, it'll be that kind of sacrifice that we need to offer. In Proverbs chapter 29, and we find that God also assures us of safety. Whenever we find in chapter 29, 25 through 26, it says, the fear of man brings a snare. Whoever trusts in the Lord, though, what does he say? Shall be safe. We don't have to fear. Fear is taken away when? When we fully trust in God. How can we face adversity? How can we face the trials that are going to come upon us? Putting all of our trust in God. It takes the fear away. As he goes on to say there, many seek the ruler's favor. But justice for man comes not from those rulers. It comes from the Lord, he says. In 2 Chronicles, and when we look back to 2 Chronicles chapter 1, and notice with me, if you will, in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verses 8 through 10. Here we find once again that safety is not in man, but safety is in the Lord himself. In 2 Corinthians, I don't know why I said that. 2 Corinthians is where I want to be. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 8 through 10. That looks better. It says, for we do not want to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we are burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Here that we find the Apostle Paul, as he's demonstrating here, that there were many times when Paul's missionary journeys and in his work for the Lord, he was faced with great, tremendous adversity. Those who opposed him, those who were out to kill him. And here we find that it came to a point where he says here that we despaired even to life. He says, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us for so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that He still delivers us. We've got to rest assured that God will see us through. Just as Abraham trusted and he knew that God had a reason for everything that he asked, that God would supply, God fulfilled. We've got to rest assured of that. And rest with confidence that God is our refuge. The final resting place is eternal life in heaven. I don't know of a soul here today that doesn't want to go to heaven. But how much trust and confidence do you have in God to get there? Whenever we look back over to Psalms, in the writings of Psalms 125, and here we find in David's songs that he presented, we find in 125 there, and notice in verse 1 it says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, he said, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord, what does He do? Surrounds His people from this time forth and forever. Do you remember what Satan said to God whenever they were conversing with one another, when he was talking there about Job, God's servant? The one thing that God said, he said, have you recognize my servant Job, how righteous he is, how upright he is, and how faithful he is. What did Satan say? He said to God, you've got this hedge built around him. God builds a hedge around each and every one of us who are faithful to Him, who are doing and obedient to His will. There's a hedge. He secures us. He gives us that safety. And it goes on throughout eternity. From this day forward, we are surrounded with the love of God. In Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death. And the promise from God is a crown of righteousness, a crown of life. It awaits each and every one of us. But we've got to have full trust and faith in God to get there. I'm going to leave you with these verses of Scripture today. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 9 through 10, it says it's a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, for to this end we both labor and suffer reproach. Because why? Because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who obey. And then finally, in Psalms 124 and verse 8, we find that our help is not in our riches, it's not in man, it's not within ourselves. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. As we're about to sing the song of encouragement, ask yourself, where have I been putting my trust? Is it in God? Or something else.